This past weekend up there at Maranatha Fellowship up in Apennee, Tim Sheets was speaking up there. How many of you guys remember Tim Sheets from about 2 years ago when we had him in here? Okay, for those of you who weren't around at New Life at the time, Tim Sheets has an apostolic mantle on him. He's very gifted in the teachings. He's very gifted in ministry. And he pastors Oasis Church out of somewhere in Ohio. It's just kind of over there in Ohio to me, so. Middletown, there we go. July the 8th, that's a Sunday night, we're going to have him back here at 6 o'clock in the evening. We're Pentecostal, so we know where that time frame lands with us. So 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday night, we're going to have Tim Sheets back here again that evening. You'll definitely want to arrange your schedules to make sure you make it. It's an amazing message that he has. I don't know whether it's going to be on the same thing as what we were taught this weekend or if it's going to be something completely different, but it's Tim, so it'll be good. A little bit of background on Tim, though. He was raised Pentecostal. He was the son of a Pentecostal preacher, and so he grew up around the gifts. He grew up around the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and he had never actually done an in-depth teaching or in-depth study on the baptism of the Holy Spirit until God told him. So he had actually received a prophetic word from Chuck Pierce about that there's going to be 2 years of training starting this spring, so we just started into it, followed by a third year, there will be an explosive harvest. I mean, that's powerful. Explosive. Not just a harvest, but an explosive harvest. How many know we want to be prepared when that harvest hits? We're already starting to see everything change in the atmosphere around here. Look at this morning if you don't know what we're talking about. But so, Acts 2. You can flip there if you want, or else Roger may get it on the screen, or I'll just read it to you. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now one of the first things he touched on here is, you know, why is the first thing that the Holy Spirit did when he came that he gave them tongues? Now, sure, you might say, well, that's that way everybody that was visiting from other areas knew the gospel in their own language, which it was, and they did. But it's so much more than that. So we're going to look at, we set up this. The dominion mandate. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, or according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea, fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." To me, that sounds like everything. You know, so God has intended us to rule and reign. God intended us to have victory over this life. God intended for us to rule. So let's think about this. God created us. He created Adam and Eve first. He taught them his language. That very same language that God spoke everything into existence. That very language that has authority and rules and reigns. It's that governing authority language. It's that anything is possible language. And they spoke this language on the earth up until the Tower of Babel. If you want to read about it, it's in Genesis. You can read about the everybody in around Babel. They were wanting to make a tower. They were wanting to make a big Mecca, a place for everyone to come and worship, but not God. And they were all working towards that same goal. And with God's language, that could have happened. With that anything is possible language, that could have taken place. So what happened? Godhead said, let's go down there and confuse their languages so that way they can't succeed. So God's spirit language disappeared from the earth from the time of Babel till the time of Pentecost. Trying to get rid of a glare up here. So that spirit language is infused with his governing power. That's our spirit language is infused with governing authority and supernatural ability. First thing that the Spirit did was restore the governing language. That day of Pentecost reversed Babel. So he also went on to talk about the ecclesia, the church. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In my Bible, I actually circled you when it says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and wrote church. Now that ecclesia, that doesn't mean church as we think it today. It means a government. It means authority. If you go on our website, you'll actually have find some of our teachings on the ecclesia. And we've touched on this before, but it's so important. Think about that. We are governing over the world. He is building a governing authority through his church. He is building something that has authority over all of that, over all of what he has created. He wants to restore that back to us. And he did that on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. So that spirit language. So praying in the spirit, it activates things. Praying in the spirit, it activates kingdom keys that give us that he gives us in the form of gifts. He comes to anoint us with the 9 spiritual gifts that carry out the mandate. Nobody expected us to be doing body ministry this morning. I mean, here pastor just told me, hey, go ahead and share, and then look out. So I flagged the scripture, but I'll just, it's 1 Corinthians 12 in verses 7 through 11. But the 9 gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kind of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We see all those working here in the church when we submit to the Holy Spirit. We see so many of those gifts activated. And when we walk them out using his spirit language, look out. There is power in his language. When we pray in the spirit, we become governing intercessors. And the keys are gifts, or the gifts are the keys that we're given to equip the church. When we don't know what we need to pray for, guess what? Holy Spirit does. When we don't know what enemy we're facing, what that particular spirit is that we're facing, the enemy does. So just start praying in tongues. I mean, when you don't know, the Spirit will give you utterance. I don't want anybody leaving here today unless you want to get prayed for, too. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God's pulling down of strongholds." But I love what Tim did there. He actually pulled up the Message Bible version. So there it says, "The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. We never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massive corrupt culture." Was this just written here this year? Was this just written here recently? "We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready and at hand for the clearing of the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity." That's good stuff right there. We won't disciple the nations if we aren't demolishing the culture. Guys, we aren't built to be the same as everybody else. We aren't designed to be status quo. God's made us different. So when we speak, we have his power. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking of tongues, there would have been no ecclesia. Speaking in tongues is not just about receiving power from on high, but for also the releasing of power from on high. So easy to use it for ourselves. But what's that going to gain us? You know, yes, God is coming soon, but we don't know when that is. God intended us to reign and rule on this life, not just in the afterlife. We're intended to rule in this life now, not just when we move on to eternity. Yes, we're going to rule with and reign with Christ forever, but he's given us authority now. We need to take that back. The enemy's pushed in so long. We've given up areas that we should have never gave up. And the only reason the enemy has stepped in and taken that is because we've allowed him to. So this is a note that I wrote from what Ashley, when we were talking about this last night or yesterday morning or sometime. She said, "Yes, we need to be filled, and this world drains us. But for so long we've received and received and been filled, but it's time when we release that power back to those who need it most." You know, it's like Pastor Rick said when we came back from Toronto, we've had enough teachings in this place that we are more than equipped. We're just starting to need to let the Holy Spirit move. All right, I think I'm closing now, but so we're talking about spirit language. We're talking about what God's done through his church. And God is a restoring God. Zephaniah 3:9. You know, I hear Zephaniah and Hosea and some of those minor prophets, and it's so easy to go through those books quickly when you're reading them, but boy, there's so much in them that I'm amazed at little things that I pick up as we go through that. Zephaniah 3:9. This was very prophetic. He says, "For then I will restore the peoples a pure language, that they may all call on the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord." Talk about Pentecost. The disciples were in the upper room in one accord. 120 people in one accord. And he restored a pure language. That anything is possible language. That victory over the enemy language. That governing language. That governing we have authority over the enemy. That governing we have authority over this government. We have authority over all the mountains, the media, education system, families. God restored the keys to the kingdom at that point. He restored the way for us to rule and reign and bring things back under the dominion mandate. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That spirit language is the same today as it was back in the beginning. The greatest era of church history is not in our past. It's in our present and our future. Not just in our future, it's in the present too. There in Matthew 18 where, or 16, where he's talking about the keys, he's giving us keys in the scripture. Those represent authority. You know, think of Isaiah 9:6, where it says, where it's talking about, we so often use it in Christmas time, where we say, "Unto us a child is born, and the keys of the kingdom will be on his shoulder." In that time, the leaders second in charge of the kingdom usually carried the keys on their shoulder. And those keys were usually big because, you know, you think about today. Computers started out the size of a room. Now they're the size of a phone. Oh, wait. Your phone is a computer. But back then, the keys started out huge because they used big locks on them. Now keys, we think of just something you're able to stick in your pocket. But those keys that have authority, not just access, but authority. Remember, God uses willing people. Prayers that are in the Spirit are prayers that are in agreement with heaven. Soak that in. Prayers that are in the Spirit are prayers that are in agreement with heaven. Because you know what? God can't disagree with himself. If the Holy Spirit is praying it, the Holy Spirit is in agreement with Jesus, is in agreement with God the Father, which is in agreement with you coming out of your mouth. It's going to come to pass. Even if we don't know what it is we're praying for at the time. I mean, he's our helper. Just let him help us. Just get out of the way. Submit to him. He knows what needs loosed. He knows what needs bound. You may come up to a door that's closed. You may not even find where the keyhole is. You may not even find where the door is on that wall that's in your way. But guess what? The Holy Spirit does know where that is. The Holy Spirit does know how to pray to overcome that obstacle. He does know how to pray to get rid of that blockage. He will release things. Pray in the Spirit. He'll release it. We have a supernatural intercessor and defender in us. So when we can't open the door, he knows how. From the fall to Babel, God's always wanted to restore it. And I mean, the Godhead, they were there together and said, you know what, we need to restore this. So what happened? God knew it was time. He sent the king to come and declare it. He sent the Spirit to come to help us do it. And they said all that we had to do is submit to them. That is where we are. We need to submit to the Spirit. Release those tongues. Release those gifts. Let's say we're only 2 weeks past Pentecost, but Pentecost never stopped. You know, we're not intended to just stop raining because we've gotten so far past something. We're intended to rule every day, in every location that we are, in every situation we're in. We just need to move in the gifts. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come up here today. If you've never spoken tongues, come up here. Have faith that God will use you. God is not into powerless kingdom. He is not a powerless authority. The enemy is powerless. I think at one point Tim referred to him as the forever loser. You know, we have victory with that spirit language. We have victory throughout everything in life. Even when things don't seem like it, it's just the enemy's figuring out a way to get between you and where you need to be. And just start praying for the Holy Spirit. Start praying in tongues. After so long of praying in tongues, you'll actually find yourself starting to make declarations. You'll start saying that, hey, I take authority over this education system. I take authority over the spirit of suicide. I take authority over the drugs in the area. I take authority over whatever it is that you're facing. God is not going to leave us powerless. He's a loving father. And I'm just amazed. I don't know why I am amazed by God, because he can do anything, but when you see it, it's like, oh. Well, this teaching was too much to not let you guys get out of here without hearing today. We want to get our hands on you. Come, get an impartation. Father, we thank you for this time together today. Lord, we want to submit to you, Holy Spirit. We want to submit to you. We want to give you the due respect, Holy Spirit. Oh, too often it's so much about Jesus, but we know that you are an equal to Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for bringing yourself and manifesting yourself in this place today. We thank you for making your presence so presently known, Lord. Oh, we don't want to leave here without giving you all the respect that you deserve. We don't want to leave here without you being exalted and lifted on high. Lord, we pray for each person that comes up. We pray for fresh anointing, for fresh wisdom, for fresh gifts. We earnestly desire those gifts, Lord, and we praise you for that. Oh, we thank you. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name.